Amen. You can be seated. Kids, bad news. You got to stay in here and listen to me today. There's no children's church, but that's the reason why it's a really good day. It's Mother's Day, and so y'all can clap for that. It's Mother's Day. Yes. And so, kids, you get to stay in here with your mom and sit with her and remind her of you and what made her a mom. Here's what we're going to do, though. We're going to take just a moment to recognize, and we don't just recognize people that have children, birth children, because we understand that women are an important role in society and our culture and within our church, and we know that if you are following Christ, that you are making an influence on those that are younger than you, on children, and the Scripture talks about older women teaching younger women to follow Christ, and so if you are a woman 18 years or older, married or not, if you're 18 years or older, if you'll just stand up, we want to just honor you for a second. All women 18 years old or older. Yes, thank you. Y'all have a seat. Thank you. We're going to, at the end of the service, we're going to have a special drawing. And we do this instead of getting, a lot of everybody a bunch of small things. We ladies like it to be in a drawing, so you can get one big thing. And so maybe you'll win, and Brandon and Gracie are going to take care of that right at the very end. So if you didn't get signed up for that, make sure that you see them right at the end, right there at the announcement time. They'll make that also. Also, for children, parents, if you need something for your kids, maybe they just, they need a little something to draw and coloring sheets. There's some coloring sheets right back out the back door. You can grab those. And so they're not just, driving you crazy. Like me, whenever I was in church, my ADHD, it was crazy. And so there was a lot of bulletins that I would draw on and color on, and I would make a maze through the words. Anybody ever do that on the back? You make just me. All right, so I was pretending like I was playing Frogger. I was paying attention a little bit. But anyway, so we don't have bulletins. So if you need something, go grab one, okay? If you're older, you need one. Grab one, okay? All right, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 21 today, and we're going to talk about a lady, a widow. We're going to finish up our sermon series on sacrifice, and there couldn't be another or better day to really finish it up on sacrifice, because ladies, we know, especially moms, we know that you sacrifice all the time. You sacrifice so that your kids can have. You sacrifice sleep so that you can finish that project at 2 o'clock in the morning that's due the next day, right? That morning at school, and the kids forgot to tell you that it was due until 10 o'clock that night. Anybody ever had that experience? Yeah, and so now you're going to Walmart, and all the good stuff to put the project together is gone, so you're just trying to figure out what you're going to do. And so you're up late doing that, and you're running places. You up early to make sure things are ironed, because nobody else in the house knows how to iron anything. Am I right? Yes. Man, I'll give you a hint. If you iron it wrong a few times, they'll just say, "Let me do that." And so, it doesn't work for you. Yeah. Sorry. All right, you didn't do it bad enough. And so the diapers that were changed, I know my wife changed so many more diapers than I ever did. And so women, moms, we know that you sacrifice. And in this story, there's a woman that sacrifices in much the same way that you sacrifice for your kids, but she's sacrificing for the Lord. And we know that as you raise your children, moms, that as you raise your children, that is your calling to raise your kids in this nurturing home so that they will love the Lord. Men, same for you, but we'll focus on you a few weeks from now. We're talking about moms today, okay? And so moms, they sacrifice to make sure that the kids are raised in this godly home. Here, this woman, you're going to see that she sacrifices everything that she has in order to bring glory and honor to God. So look here in Luke chapter 21, verse 1. It says, as Jesus looked up, he saw rich people putting their gifts into the temple offering boxes. He also saw a poor woman, or a poor widow woman, putting and two very small copper coins. What I'm about to tell you is true, Jesus said. That poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these other people gave a lot because they are rich. But even though she is poor, she put in everything. She had nothing left to live on. Man, this is pretty intense. Last week we talked about the young man, and Jesus said, I want you to sell everything and I want you to give it to the poor. This widow woman, man, you know you're in the South when you call her a widow woman, don't you? Little widow woman. This widow woman, without having this commandment from Jesus, just from the overflow of her heart, because of her love for God, we see her putting everything in, giving everything without a command, doing this and not having anything left. This stands in contrast to the rich young ruler. Here's some things that we see. I'm going to try to get you out early so you can take your wife out to eat today. Or really, the kids should pay for the meal today, shouldn't they? Can I get an amen on that one? Yeah, the kids should pay for the meal today. It's Mother's Day, okay? It's not Wife's Day. I mean, they should. Anyway, I digress. Men, we get suckered into that one. On Mother's Day, we take them out to eat. On Father's Day, we take everybody out to eat again. Yeah, it's all right. We're going to try to get done early so you can take your wives out to eat, because we want them to go out to eat good, not at McDonald's value meal, okay? So what we see first is that God watches our hearts. You see, here's Jesus. As he looked up, he saw the rich people, and he's watching. He's paying attention as the people would go. Now, if we did this, we'd just be a nosy, right? Like, if we're doing this, if you're watching what people put in the plate, don't do that. You're not Jesus, okay? I know some of you are like, but what would Jesus do? You're not Jesus, okay? So don't watch what people put in the plate. But Jesus is watching. And the reason that he's watching, it's revealed to us why he's watching. He's not watching really to see how much the amount that's put in. He's watching to see the heart of the person that's giving here, giving into this tithing or this box. And sometimes it was a huge, like, brass horn, and so you would throw your money, and the more money you threw in, the louder it would make a sound. And so he's watching to see the heart. Where our heart is, that's really what God's concerned with. We've talked about this over and over the last 2 or 3 weeks, that God's concerned not really about where our money is, but where our heart is. He wants our heart to long after him, to seek after him. I love, and I've shared this several times, and it's just one of those stories. You know, you come for a while, you hear some of the same ones, but it's just because it makes so much sense. Billy Graham, he was preaching an event, preaching a revival, and offering plates coming through, and he reached down in his pocket as it came through. He was on stage, okay, so everybody's watching him. You remember those chairs they used to have up here? On either side, y'all remember those? Okay, we're going to get some of those for Brian and Brandon. Anyways, not really. So he reaches down and he grabs out what he thought was a $10 bill, and it was a $100 bill, and he put it in the plate. But as it went into the plate, it's too late. You're on stage. You can't just grab it back. Like, hold on, I didn't mean to do that. What would that look like? You know, you can't do that. And so he's upset about it, and really he's driving home, and he's telling his wife about how upset he is about it, and she goes, that's a shame, that's a shame. He goes, I know, it's $100. She said, that's not the shame. The shame is you gave $100 and you only got credit for $10. Because God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at what you put in. He looks at the heart. He looks at how we give. Do we give with this sincerity? Do we give out of respect? Do we give with thankfulness? Do we give with joy? Or do we give because we have to? Because somebody's watching. Do we give from the overflow of our heart? And really, some of this starts to penetrate our hearts over the last 3 weeks. We've been talking about this. If you get really upset when people are talking about this giving and what is given and gifts, it really starts to reveal where you are and what you love. For people who love to give, man, it thrills their heart. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like to ask people for stuff. I want to try to do it on my own. Anybody else that way? I mean, I want to get it taken care of. I mean, I'm going to have to be in pretty bad shape to ask somebody for help in any way. And God's teaching me some lessons through that, okay? So I'm learning but there are some people that God has placed in my life through my lifetime that just had this gift of giving. And they are just waiting for somebody to ask. Like, they're just sitting on the cash, waiting for somebody to ask, will you sponsor this? Will you help with this? And they're like, oh, yeah. Is that all you need? That's what they say. Is that all? I can give you more. You ever had that response? Some of you are like, I've never had that response. It helps if it's for the church, okay? All right, so you need more than that. You know, and so you're not always asked, but there are people that would love to be asked day after day after day, and I really believe they have this gift, what the Scripture says, this gift of giving. I'm not saying that we all have to be that excited and just waiting, but we do need to have an excitement as we give. That we do have to have, like, an anticipation that, you know, like, at the end of the service, it's at the end of the service when we take up the offering, if you notice. Like, we're not doing announcements, we're not moving around, we're not doing, because we want that also to be a time of worship where we're able to pour out our heart to Christ and let Him, as He watches us, not that He's watching what we put in, or you put a dollar in, you put $2, not that, but that He's watching our heart. And then as we put it in, it thrills His soul, much like moms today, you got a present, and some of you got something that was bought by your husband and given to the kids in order to be given to them, right? And so some of that happened, and on Christmas, parents, sometimes you give this money so that your kids can go buy you a present, and they bring it back, and then you're excited about that. It's not so much about the money that was spent. It's about the heart of the giver. And it thrills you to death to receive those, because you know that they took time to balance and to look through and to say this is what they want, and to know, look, you would love this. This is something that you would love because I know who you are. And so as we give, and as we give with this thankful heart, it reveals to us what we think of and how well we know Christ. Well, not only that, but God weighs our gifts by what we have. God weighs our gifts by what we have. Those people who have much, what's required? Much. Those who have little, what's required? No, little. And so here you see this, and that's in man's eyes. Here this woman's given everything. That's a lot, but in man's eyes, two small copper coins, you know, this idea like two small pennies is small in man's eyes. But God looks at our gifts compared to what we have. And sometimes people are like, that's the 10%. You got to give the 10%. Okay, we have that in the Old Testament. And I would say that's probably a good place to be. And that was part of the giving process. And there is a promise to Israel as they would give a tenth. But what I would say is we actually live in the New Testament under grace and mercy. And even though that may be a good place for us to start, that may not be as far as God wants us to go. God may want us to be bigger givers than that, larger than that. He may want us to take what He gives us, the riches, and give out of the riches. Because look, what He said about these rich people, what did He say? It's easy for them to give. They gave out of their abundance. Really, what He's saying is it didn't hurt them at all to give. They didn't even miss it. They didn't miss a meal. They didn't miss a going out to eat. They got everything that they still wanted. They got all. They just gave out of their abundance. They didn't miss anything. And so what I would say for us is that there's going to be times where God calls us to sacrifice and for us to do without some of the pleasures, some of the things that this world has in order for us to push His mission, to carry His word to a lost and dying world. That's a foreign thing to us. Because when we give, we usually give out of our abundance. I mean, sometimes it's big, right? Like we're like 10%. That's huge. But really, for some of us, 10%, even though it's a huge check, it's still out of our abundance, and we never miss it. We were talking about this Wednesday. I can't remember if it was this week or last week. But David was going to offer a sacrifice, and so he went to the landowner, and he says, "Hey, let me buy this threshing floor, and let me buy all your cattle, and I want to make a sacrifice." And the landowner said, "You're king. Let me just give it to you." And David said, "I will not offer a sacrifice that does not cost me anything." It revealed his heart. It revealed his desire, his longing. And for us, if our mission is to carry the gospel to the world, then our gifts will be weighed by what we have, and we have much, therefore much is required. That means not just money. We have much time. We have much transportation. We have much stuff. We have much ability. Like, y'all know some places in the world, they don't have internet. They don't know how to YouTube stuff. Man, we can YouTube things. We can learn things. We can do things. There's lots of stuff that we can know how to do. So all this stuff that God has given us and entrusted to us, we have much. Therefore, much is required. We can't just store it up for ourselves. And like, this is all for us. Like that poor guy in the scripture, in the parable, that said, hey, he had this huge grain harvest. And so what he did was he said, well, instead of giving it to the excess to the people, let me just build bigger silos, more silos. And what did God say? You fool. Your life is required of you tonight. Why do we have a desire to store so much for ourselves and store so much or bring so much to a God that loves us in such a huge way? Again, I want you to understand, God's not interested in your stuff because it's His stuff. You're just borrowing it. It's His stuff. You're just borrowing it. It's His money. You're just borrowing it. And so He's not interested in your stuff. He's interested in your heart. He's interested here in this woman's heart, in these rich people's heart. And He's seeing the heart being revealed by the gifts that are given. What God is looking for is our everything. Again, this is the theme that we've run through the last several weeks. God's looking for our everything. Do you notice the offering, the gift that God noticed was the woman's gift, the widow's gift, when she sacrificed everything? Everything. Nothing left. It was all His. So much so, she didn't even have. It says she had nothing left to live on. She gave everything. She couldn't go buy a meal. She couldn't go buy a snack. Or she couldn't go, we call them nabs around here. She couldn't go buy a pack of nabs. Y'all know what a pack of nabs is? Just any kind of snack, right? I call crackers now. Anyway, so she couldn't even go grab her some nabs. Like, what God is asking me to do? That you bring, again, over and over we see it in Scripture, that we bring everything that we have to God and say, this is yours. This is yours. And however you want me to steward your stuff, I will. And that could be as simple as you walking down the street somewhere. Say you're in a larger city, New Orleans, and it's a cold day, and you have a jacket that you just bought, and maybe it's a really nice jacket. Maybe you spent a lot of money on this jacket. and you see a poor man here on the sidewalk with no jacket, no way to stay warm, maybe it's just as easy as to take that jacket off and hand the jacket to this poor guy. You're like, but I'm going to be cold. Yeah, for that long. Until you can get back to your hotel room and get another jacket, or you can go buy one, you'll be cold that long. Or maybe it's today as you go out and you see a family and they want to celebrate Mother's Day because Mother's Day is huge. And they've scrimped and saved up what money they had so that they could go out and celebrate Mother's Day. And you can, and you know, you can tell when people sometimes are in, not every time, but sometimes when they just don't have a lot. Sometimes it's just, hey, that family, I got their bill. I'll take care of theirs. And sometimes it's just as you're like, you have money in your wallet and you're like, man, I got this money in my wallet. Because, you know, you don't always have cash anymore. But don't you like it to have, I like to have a little bit of cash around. I don't like to go somewhere without cash. I like a little bit of cash because you never know. And when I say a little bit, I mean, I know some of y'all carry a lot of cash and that's good for y'all. But that just means God can use y'all more than me and that's okay. And so I'm carrying this cash and it may be, all right, hey, empty your wallet out and give that person all your cash. Or give them 20, or give them 50, or give them 100. Because it's not yours. You're like, but I worked for it. Who gave you the ability to work, and who can take that ability away? Who gave you breath to breathe? It's all His. And so when I say everything, God is looking for our everything. I'm not saying that you write a check and you sign your mortgage and you give the church everything. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it's all God's and we put it in right perspective and we're thankful for everything that we have. And in that thankfulness, it drives us on the inside. It makes our heart overflow with joy. Thank you for giving me blessing. Thank you for giving me a way to get places. Thank you for, and again, nothing wrong with nice things. Thank you for giving me a new car. Hard. Thank you for giving me a new house and thank you for being able to give me time to go out and eat. But in those things that God gives us in that joy, we find that it's all God's. And so in the middle of our thankfulness, God says, all right, I need you to let that person stay in your new house for a few weeks. I need you to give that person a ride here, or I need you to go and get them and bring them to church. It's all His. God is looking for our everything. He's looking for our hearts to be fully and 100% devoted to Him. God's looking for our dependence on Him. This is exactly what you see in this woman's life. She gave everything, her two last pennies, her what they would call the mite. They gave those two pennies, and she had nothing left and only had God. That's it. She only had God. She had nothing else. God says, I want you to be fully dependent on me, not your bank account, not your house, not your clothes, not your car. I don't want you to find your identity in how much you make every year. I don't want you to find your identity in a W-2 form. I don't want you to find your identity in the American dream. He's like, I want you to find, or us, he wants us to find our identity in Him. I'm a follower of Christ, and because I'm a follower of Christ, I'm just passing through. This place is not my permanent home. Yes, I need to eat while I'm here. Yes, I need shelter while I'm here. Yes, I need to travel while I'm here. But this stuff is not mine. God's letting me borrow these things. I'm going to a better place, a richer place, a place with no sorrow, a place with no hurt or death. That we don't hold so tightly. God says, He wants us to be fully dependent on Him, that He's enough. We say this here a lot. If all you had was Jesus, is that enough? Or in your mind, do you need Jesus plus something else? Like, if all you have is Jesus, is that the only security that you need? Or you're like, but I need Jesus plus I need an emergency fund. Well, nothing wrong with an emergency fund, but if Jesus is your security, the emergency fund, God wants you there. That emergency fund's up for debate at any moment. You're like, God could say, that emergency fund, you know, your neighbor, they need you to pay their rent. That's my emergency fund. That's not an emergency. It's not your emergency fund. It's my money. You just call it an emergency fund, and I need you to pay your rent, pay their rent. It's all His, and He is our security. At the end of the day, if God wants you to be broke, you'll be broke. At the end of the day, if it's God's will that you're sick, you're sick. At the end of the day, if it's your appointed time to take your last breath, you're going to take your last breath. God's in control of all these things. He is our security. He is the one that holds life together. He holds the universe together. He holds our life together. He is our safety net. All these other things are distractions sometimes. And everything has to be here, not here. Here. So that when you live your entire life, it's here. So that when you see a kid, I don't know, they want to do some activity with the school and they can't afford it, and your child's in it and they're about to drop out, you write a check for both. Or a kid can't go on a trip that everybody else is going on, and you write a check for both. Or you see a kid out there in some old ratty shoes because they want to play some sport, you just go ahead and buy them some new shoes. This is what it is to have hands open. That when the offering plate comes through, you do it with a joyous heart, not because you have to, because God allows us to, because God has given us so much. And our heart is overwhelmed with joy. Why? Because at the end of the day, we're going to talk about Mother's Day, but in order to talk about Mother's Day, all good mothers look to a good father, which is God. God wants us to give our heart fully to Him, being fully dependent on Him, being fully engaged with Him in every part of our life, every day of our life, with all that we are, everything that we have, so that we can show the love of God to the people around us because He's a good Father. You know, there's this prosperity gospel. I don't know if you've ever heard about the prosperity gospel, the name, but you know what I'm talking about. These guys that go around and they preach and say, hey, if you will just follow God, then everything's going to be fine. If you just send me a $100 seed offering, then God will make you rich. You heard those guys? That's a lie, by the way. Those guys just want your money. And in the United States, it's really easy for us to fall into that because we worship our things. Piper said this one time in a sermon that it struck me. He said, it's easy to share the prosperity gospel in the United States where prosperity just abounds. But how do you tell someone in another country in South America? How do you tell them and share the same gospel that some people share around here, that if you follow Christ, then you can have you a four-bedroom, three-bath house or a brand-new Porsche when they're just trying to find the next meal. It's not the possessions and things are not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ. And that's why you see people in the dirtiest, filthiest, poorest places in the world clinging to Jesus, because that's all they have. And guess what? That's enough. That's enough. really is more than enough. Now, one thing I don't want you to leave here doing, I don't want you to leave here feeling guilty because you have things. That's not what I want you to do at all. I want you to be excited that God has blessed you. I think the scripture is clear that we just come like this. That we enjoy the things that God has given us, but we don't just keep them for ourselves. He's given us these things so that we can bless the world. He's given us these things so we could bless our neighbors. He's given us these things so that we can share these physical things to meet physical needs, so then return we can share the gospel and share the spiritual need that they need, that they need Jesus Christ. So don't look at it like, man, I should just need to be poor. And Gandhi wasn't a believer, but he said, I'm going to live in poverty because things are, that's not what we see at all. What we see in the scripture is that you have the things that you have so that you can use them to bless the people around you, so you can share the gospel. So where's your heart? Does your heart belong to this world? I mean, do you get more thrilled over payday than you do over Sunday? Do you get more excited about the number of dollars that you make than you get excited over the people that God brings to Christ and that God saves? Man, I'm excited to see what God's going to do in us in this challenge. Over the last 3 weeks, this challenge of the heart. Because really, sacrifice is a challenge of the heart. And I'm excited to see how you're going to bless your neighbors and the stories that we're going to hear. And sometimes you're not even going to tell a story. You're just going to know it. Because sometimes you just keep it to yourself like Mary and you ponder on these things. And here's the trick. I'll just tell you, here's the trick. And it's weird. It's odd. It's strange. The more you live like this, the more you live like this. And then the more you live like this, the more excited you get when you have an opportunity to share and to give and to bless. It thrills your heart because we're starting to be more like Christ. Because it thrills His heart to pour His blessings out on us. Church, will you stand? Some of you may want to come to the altar and just thank God for the things that you have. That God's blessed you in such a tremendous way. You want to come and just say, thank you, Father, for the good things that I have. Help me to live my life like this with the things that you've given me. Help me live like this. Some of you may want to come and say, God, help me stop living like this. I'm just tight. And if you know that, like last week, if God would tell you to sell everything and give it all away and risk it all for His name, you're like, I don't think I can do it. And you could just pray a simple prayer. God, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Some of you might want to come and pray and say, God, give me eyes to see opportunities around me. Opportunities that I can pour into. And maybe it's spending time with a person. Maybe it's going to buy groceries and leaving it on their doorstep. but that God would give you opportunities to share His love with the people around you. And then some of us might just want to come and repent, because there is repentance that takes place. Because if we haven't lived this way, we've lived in sin. Because we're claiming to own, possess something that's God's. That we just come and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I treated the things that You've given me like they're mine. I've treated my bank account like it's mine. And it's yours. But don't let this time, because we're going to switch next week. Look, next week we're into a new sermon series, okay? Don't let this sermon series end without allowing God to capture your whole heart, to grasp your desires. Don't let it end, because it's going to be easy, because there's so many shiny things in this world that catch our attention. And the shiny, man, we're like ADHD kids that just drank a Red Bull. Look at that. I want that. And God's like, look to me. Long for me. Let me be your support. Let me be your desire. I think that's why He said, seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these things, when He's talking about these things, He's talking about what you eat, what you wear. We're talking about just what we're talking about. He said, and then all these things will be added to you. They'll be taken care of. Your needs will be taken care of. But seek first the kingdom of God. Lord, Father, I pray to You. Capture our hearts. Lord, let us fall in love with You. Lord, for some of us, we need You to snatch our hearts from this world. We're in this abusive relationship with this world. And we're loving it. But it's destroying us. Rescue us, Lord. Give us joy. Give us excitement. Give us a passion. Lord, You work. Church, the altar is open. Come and see Your Father.